the fig leaf principle. The fig leaf was mentioned when Adam and Eve sinned and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Now, the most visible thing about the fig tree is its leaves. In the Bible, anytime the fig tree was mentioned, its leaves were mentioned. Now, the fig leaf principle simply is having leaves but no fruit. That is not how God wants us to live. When we live by the fig tree principle or the fig leaf principle, we are in deception. We are in delusion. One of the many delusions in the church today is leaves without fruit. Leaves can stand for activity because they are always shaking. But God is looking for more than activity. God is looking for fruit. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that even as your word is coming, you will help us to open our hearts to receive your word and let your word bring us transformation. Equip us, O God, with tools of discernment in this end time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You are all welcome to church. Today is 3rd December 2017, and we've been looking at deception, you know, but in various topics, under various topics, but we're still looking at deception and discernment, how we can work with discernment. And for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we've been looking at the principle of the two trees in the garden. And we saw the firstborn of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is self-centeredness. Then we saw the secondborn of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is self-effort. Then we saw the thirdborn. That is selfish ambition. And today I want to talk about the fig leaf principle. The fig leaf principle. That is also talking about how we can be discerning, or how we can have discernment so that we can know what we are supposed to do. And the fig leaf has a lot of implications in scripture, and it stands for many things that we can learn from, and it can also guide us to understand the workings of the spirit of deception. The workings of the spirit of deception. Now, the first time the fig leaf was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 3. You see, when Adam and Eve ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the first thing they did was they knew that they were naked, and the first thing they tried to do was they sowed fig leaves and covered themselves with fig leaves. Now let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." I'm going to be talking about Satan's message, what constitutes his message. And this is the very first thing that you see about the devil, is that he tries to portray God as not good enough, that God is hiding something from you. For God knows that you shall surely not die, but God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will open. So it means God is hiding something from you. God is not interested in your welfare. God is not for you. You know, that's the very first thing he will do. Attack the word of God. But I'll talk about that later. Then, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So this was when fig leaves was mentioned first in the Bible. And there's a principle of interpretation of scripture, which is called the law of first mention. So if you want to know how to interpret something, you look at when it was first mentioned. Then that will set the tone for its interpretation throughout scripture. So the fig leaf was mentioned when Adam and Eve sinned and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Now, when their eyes opened, the first thing that they saw was fig leaves. And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. We cannot say that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a fig tree. We can't say that. It's not in the Bible to say that, you know. But it looks like the fig leaf was a tree that was close to them. I mean, they were standing very close to that tree. If it's not a tree they ate from, then maybe it was close by. Because as soon as their eyes opened, now how did they know that they should use fig leaves to, you know, to put them together to make aprons to cover themselves? Because as soon as their eyes opened, they saw the fig leaves. And the reaction of Jesus to the fig tree was quite strange. So I'm tempted to think that maybe what Jesus told the fig tree went deeper than just cursing it. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14, I'll talk about the fig leaf principle, what the fig leaf stands for. But I just want to give you a background for you to know that the fig tree has a lot of significance in the Bible. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." Verse 12. "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves," you see, he went to it to see if perhaps he would find something on it. "When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." I am tempted to believe, and I really believe that what Jesus said went further than just cursing that particular tree. He was stating the principle that man will not eat from you again. Because man has been applying the fig leaf for a lot of things. Man has been depending on the fig tree for many things, you know. And he's saying that no man will ever eat fruit of you. The King James says, "No man will ever eat fruit of you again." And that was the case. That you have provided a counterfeit covering for man long enough. Now I have come as man and I'm bringing judgment to you because you are the one who have provided counterfeit covering for man. So the fig leaf principle, man has always resorted to the fig tree for nourishment and shelter. And God hates that. I'm going to show you why God hates that. Now, the most visible thing about the fig tree is its leaves. In the Bible, anytime the fig tree was mentioned, its leaves were mentioned. The very first time, I said, and they covered themselves, they sewed fig leaves together as aprons, leaves. Then in Mark 11, Jesus saw the fig tree from afar, and he thought he could have fruit. But he went there and he saw leaves. He said, he saw a fig tree. He said, he saw and seen from afar a fig tree having leaves. So a fig tree is identified with its leaves. Now, come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, you see something about the fig tree. Verse 32. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near." You see that here too. He's talking about leaves of the fig tree. So the fig tree principle or the fig leaf principle simply is having leaves but no fruit. Having leaves but no fruit. And that is not how God wants us to live. When we live by the fig tree principle or the fig leaf principle, we are in deception. We are in delusion. One of the many delusions in the church today is leaves without fruit. Leaves can stand for activity because they are always shaking. But God is looking for more than activity. God is looking for fruit. Fruit is born out of intimacy. So, the principle of the fig leaf is to place activity above relationship. To place activity above intimacy or relationship. Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. We don't serve God by steps and formula and by methods and strategies. We follow God. We serve God through relationship. We listen to God and we are directed by God. God did not give us a book to guide us. God gave us a person, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. So Christianity is a personal relationship where we are supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit, not by some formula or by steps. The moment we reduce our relationship with God to steps, to keys, formula, strategies, methods, we are living under the fig leaf principle, trying to replace intimacy with activity. And we should live our lives based on our relationship with God. And from that comes revelation. Revelation. And that is what should guide the believer. You see, the church thrives on revelation. The church grows by revelation. The church progresses by revelation. The very first time the word church was used in the Bible, it was in response to Peter's divine revelation from the Father. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And therefore I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So, revelation is what makes the church grow. When there's no revelation, the church is reduced. The church is reduced to fig leaves. Activity without fruit. The fruit, revelation is fruit. Because revelation will come through intimacy. So it is not about sermons. It's not about teachings. It's about revelation. God measures the progress of every church by the revelation that comes. You see, the food that is food in due season comes through revelation. It's not just following some principles or, you know, some formula and all that. Now, sometimes in the church, we have substituted the presence of God. We have substituted activity for the presence of God. And we have defined activity as the presence. But activity is not equal to the presence of God. We can have a lot of things that we can say that, oh, this shows that God is in the church. But that is not the presence of God. That's one thing we should know. Formula can bring you results, but it is fig leaves. There are many things that God may bless. He may give his blessings, but he himself may not be in it. And so we should have that in mind, that it's not, Christianity is not based on activity. It is relationship. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you will see that God was trying to show Elijah something. See, sometimes God needs to, you know, throw away a lot of things that we have in our minds in order for us to understand certain things. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, he said, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." And he said the Lord passed by. But as he was passing by, there was a great wind. And it tore the mountain and broke the rock into pieces. But he said, but the Lord was not in the wind. Then after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So God was around, but he was not in those things. So the presence of activity does not indicate the presence of God. It does not mean that God is there. The fact that we are having programs and we have program after program does not mean God is with us. That is not what shows that God is in a place. It is not the programs you do. It is not the activities you organize. It is not how lively the place is. Sometimes people say that, oh, today I really felt the presence of God in church. Why? Because the place was lively. The atmosphere was charged. Because there was noise. Because there was a shaking. There was an earthquake. That in itself does not mean. You see, it is the revelation that comes. That is what shows that God is there. How is God revealing himself through the shaking, through the noise, and through the jumping? Those things in themselves do not constitute the presence of God. But it is the revelation how God manifests himself through those things. That is what constitutes the presence of God. So we have to be mindful of that so that we are not deceived. We are not deceived. Otherwise, we may think that unless we are doing something, unless we are running around, we are not doing anything for God. Many people even define ministry as preaching. When you are preaching all over, they say, oh, he's really doing ministry. When you are preaching from here, jumping here. You see, if you are jumping from place to place, and it is not God who is telling you to jump from place to place, God sees you as idle. That is one of the delusions in the church. God sees you as idle. Let me ask you a question. When you go to Buckingham Palace, there's a guard whose duty is to stand. I mean, even they stand still at one place. And sometimes people even think that they are statues because they can stand at one place like that, you know, and unless maybe you push them or something. Now, there may be other guards whose duty demands that they move around. Which of these two do you think is busy? It's a question. Which of these two will you refer to as busy? The one who is running around, you may think that he is busy. But you see, in the sight of God, both of them are busy. Simply because they were both given their duties by the queen. So in the sight of the queen, the one whose duty is to stand still, even though there's no activity, he's very busy. Because he's doing what his master says he should do. Now, when you are doing the will of God, that is when God sees you as doing something. So you can be doing many things, but God may not see you as busy or active. Hello? Now, let me show you something from Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. You see, this is something that is very interesting. That's why sometimes when God speaks to us, we become surprised. And God tells you that, look, you are idle. You say, I'm idle. I've been running around doing all these things for you. Then God will ask you, did you do those things for me? Did I ask you to do those things? It's not about doing something for God. It's about doing something with God. Which means that God says, let's do it, and then we are all doing it. God initiates, and then you are doing with him. God doesn't want you to work for him. God wants you to work with him. Working with God means that he carries the yoke, then you are yoked together, so he bears a greater part of the yoke. In Matthew 20, verse 3, okay, from verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Wow. The marketplace is a very busy place, is that not it? So how were they idle in the marketplace? There were a lot of activities going on around them, going on. But he still saw them as idle. Why? Because they were not in the vineyard. So as far as he is concerned, if you are not doing what he has asked you to do, no matter how busy you are idle. And that is the fig leaf principle. The activity is more important than the will of God. Because as they were covering themselves with fig leaves, what they were saying was that we are trying to protect ourselves. And leaves are always shaking. That is activity. But God does not look at how busy you are, you know, or how active you are to determine that you are busy. He looks at whether what you are doing is what he asked you to do. That's why they will say, did we not use your name to preach, to heal the sick and cast out devils, to do many mighty things? And then he will tell them, I never knew you. Why? The things you did were lawlessness. The word lawlessness or iniquity, as in the King James, simply means unauthorized. The things you did were unauthorized. They were not authorized. So the most important thing is for you and I to be able to hear God and follow God's direction for our life. Otherwise, every other thing you do is idleness. You are idling. So you can be running around using your strength, doing many things. And at the end of the day, God will tell you that you are idle. For instance, if God gives you a task and God says, my son or my daughter, I want you to clean this place, just this place, I want you to clean this place. So you, and then God goes to town. Then you come. Then you say, oh, let me sweep the floor first. Then you sweep the floor. Let me take away the cobwebs. I mean, it's not mine. Take away the cobwebs. Then let me clean the louvers. You clean the louvers. You scrub. You clean the floor. You dust the chairs. You do many things. Then God comes. You know, when God comes, God is not going to be impressed with what you have done. He will go straight to this place to see whether you have cleaned this place. So he will say, but you didn't do what I told you to do. You say, oh, but I've been working. I've been working very hard. You should have seen me. I was scrubbing this place. Anyway, I was sweating, working, and all that. God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because what you did was unauthorized. This is what I asked you to do. I didn't ask you to be sweeping. And so sometimes we think that our sacrifice is what God looks at. God looks at our obedience before sacrifice. Hello? You see, what I'm teaching, I want to, you see, the Holy Spirit is putting something in our system that will help us to decipher, because it's very, very dicey. If you don't take care, you will not understand. You will not know, because you may think that every good thing is God. But this is what we call the solid food. The solid food that will open your eye. Because when God is training you, God will first of all help you to distinguish between good and evil. Then after some time, when you are growing, God will come and help you distinguish between good and right. What is good and what is right? God, this is good, but it's not right. Why is it not right? It's not what I have asked you to do. So we don't work with God through formula, through popular opinions. Oh, this is how we do it. This is how you should do it. No. You must have a blueprint. God may call two people with similar gifts, but the two people have different sets of rules they must go by. Two different blueprints. So if you think that you have similar callings, so you are just going to copy what somebody is doing, you are going to make a mistake. allow the Spirit. That's why he gave us a person to lead us, not a book. Jesus didn't say that I leave a book with you. I've given you a map. He told Peter, he said, follow me. He didn't say, take this map and go your way. God, you could have given Peter a map. When you get to Godi Junction, turn right, turn left. He said, no. I want the thing to be, you are following me, so I'm leading you. We'll get to Godi Junction. You ask me, where should we turn? Then he said, turn to the right. Then as you go, you get to Ejusu. Then you say, turn to the left. So he will not give you a map. So the relationship, that the Christianity is relationship, not formula. Even the time that we spend with God, you know, sometimes we want formula, that these are the steps. You do this and you do that. But you see, God can allow you to use all those things. But when God is training you, God will bring you to a point where you will not have anything to stand on. And you just have to listen to the next instruction. You will go as far as your eyes can see. When you get there, you wait for instruction. You don't go with the map. So the principle of the tree of life is dependence, relationship, and dependence. And the principle of the fig tree or the fig leaf is activity above relationship. And that is one major deception in a church. Major deception. So you can be in the marketplace and still be idle. Marketplace where everybody is shouting, people are walking about. Somebody saying, I go. Somebody saying, the tomato is here, onion is here. I mean, that is a busy place. But I say, I saw them, they were idle in the busy place. Many people rate themselves by how busy or active they are. It is good to be active, but you must be active in the thing that God has called you to. You see, once you discover that this is what God is saying, then put in your whole effort, put in your strength. It's like this. You can be climbing a ladder and climb very fast. Then you get to the top. Then you realize that the ladder was leaned against the wrong wall. You have climbed the wrong wall. So make sure first that you are climbing the right ladder, the right wall. Then you can apply speed. If you speed in the wrong direction, you are still lost. You are going to Accra. Then you face Kajetia. Then you are moving at top speed. You are still lost. Even though you are moving at top speed, you are still lost. You will never get to your destination. So it's not a matter of the speed. It's a matter of whether you're on the right path. Once you get the right path, then you can apply speed. Now, the principle of the fig leaf. You see, the fig leaves were disconnected from their source. And there was no life in them. Because the law of death says that anything that is detached from its source must die. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they plucked the leaves from the tree. And when you pluck leaves from trees, it's just a matter of time. The leaves must wither and die. Hello? True or false? Yes. So there was no life in the fig leaves. There are many things that do not produce life in the life of the believer, in our ministries, in our lives, in everything we do. We can be doing certain things that will not produce life. And that is the fig leaf principle. The fig leaf principle. Whenever you are disconnected from your source, all you produce is death. All you produce is death. Because when you are disconnected from your source, you will die. You will die. In Revelation 3 verse 1, Jesus told the church, he said, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. So you can have a name that you are alive, but you are dead because you are disconnected. How can you, you can make a name for yourself. Like last week we saw the third one, the tree of knowledge. Let us make a name for ourselves. Any name you make for yourself, you can make a name for yourself and have a name. But in the sight of God, you are dead. You're not alive. So you have a name that you are alive, but yet you are dead. Because you are judging, you are basing your relationship with God on activity, not on intimacy, not on relationship. You are counting your progress by the activity. As a ministry, when we start counting our progress by the programs we have, then it means that we are operating under the fig leaf principle. Is it by the programs we have, the programs we are rolling out, the activity? What about if there is no activity? What about if in a year there's no activity? What are we going to do? If in a year God says no activity. If you rate your ministry by the preaching you preach, what about if you don't have anywhere to preach? Does it mean that you're not doing the will of God? So the thing is not about activity. The thing is about relationship. In Colossians 2 verse 19, the Bible was talking about people who are disconnected from the head. Disconnected from the head. Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Anytime you are disconnected from the head, you will not have increase that is of God. You may have increase, but the increase is not of God, because the principle is connection, is relationship and dependence. Hello. So you actually produce death when you are disconnected from the head. When you are disconnected from the head. Because it said the growth that is of God, that growth comes through nourishment, which also comes from relationship. Do you know why God will put you in a ministry? Because of increase and growth. Not everybody belongs to anywhere. There's a place you belong to where you will grow. You will be nourished. The moment you are disconnected, you will not have increase. Because you are disconnected from the source, which is the head. And there's no increase. When anything is not coming from the spirit, it means that it is producing death. Jesus Christ said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. The words are spirits and they are life. They are spirits and they are life. Spirit first and then life. So what is coming from the spirit produces life. What is coming from the flesh produces death. He said the flesh profited nothing, but the spirit giveth life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There are some words that come from the flesh. He said, he that is flesh begets flesh. Spirit begets spirit. That's why when you ask me whether somebody sang a song and all that, and this the one who sang the song is the person, is this song good for me to listen to as a believer and all that? That is, everything that is spirit is spirit. Anything that is flesh is flesh. If the song did not come from the spirit, it is death. There are even some gospel songs, so-called gospel songs, that produces death, not life. Because they came out of the flesh. They didn't come from the spirit. There are many people, they will come out with songs just from the flesh. But there are people who wait on God and they will come out with a song. And those songs will minister life. Look at some of these, some of the hymns, some of the old hymns, Charles Wesley and John Wesley hymns. They are still powerful. They are still, some of the hymns are still powerful. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moment and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. You see, these are powerful words, powerful songs. Why? They came from the Spirit. It's not a disconnection from the head. Whatever is not born of the Spirit and the Word is suspect. It cannot accomplish, it cannot give life. You see, when Mary was pregnant, do you know what was in Mary's womb? The Word. Then what? Who came over Mary? The Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will shadow you. Therefore, that holy thing, that's what it said, that holy thing will be called the Son of God. So, if you can give birth to a holy thing, you need a revelation of the Word and an empowerment of the Spirit. Otherwise, God cannot point to what you have done and say, this is my beloved Son. When the Word and the Spirit produced Jesus, then God said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. When you are disconnected from the head, that is what happens. You produce death. You produce death. When the things you do are not born out of relationship, you produce death. Even though the things you may be doing may be good things, there will still be death. Do you know that even when you are preaching, you can be preaching the letter. See, the letter kills. Why does the letter kill? Because even though it's the Word, it's coming from, it's the Bible, it says not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So you can even read and preach from the Bible and produce death if there's no spiritual connection. If it was not born out of the Spirit. That is why it's good always to wait on God. That's why you don't just, you see, for instance, when you're going somewhere to preach, you don't just go and preach. You wait on God and get the Word that the people need for that time. Yes. If I were to go by the notes I've made over the years, I would get a message for every day. Not every Sunday, every day. If I'm to go by the notes, I've made from church, notes I made on my own, I made from listening to tapes, reading books, I mean, a pile of them, many of them. I can get a message to preach every day. I can just take one notebook like that, one foolscap notebook, big notebook, and I'll just come and I'll say, I'm preaching today from this. But it will not produce life. Because the Holy Spirit is not breathing on that. Even if I take that, I must have the conviction that that is what he wants me to release. And so he will breathe on it and it will become fresh. So it's not just a matter of just, you know, taking something and then just coming to give. You know a lot of emergency food in a church. Emergency food. Food that you did not plan to prepare. You just fix some Indomie. Maybe somebody can, I'm hungry, just Indomie, and that's emergency food. But food that you consciously prepared, where you took your time, assembled the ingredients, you put them on fire, you put them together, and the food came. That is what brings nourishment. Junk food. You can be listening to junk teachings. Let me tell you something. On Friday, I was telling somebody, I said, now I see a lot of fatigue in the church. In fact, many, many men of God are tired. They are tired. It's simply that they are tired. Some people have run out of order they have. Because you see, anything that is not produced by the Spirit cannot be sustained. Some messages used to be popular some time ago. and people were running after those messages. Now they've been preaching those messages and preaching and preaching and preaching till they are tired. They don't produce life anymore. That's why sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to breathe on us to produce what is life, what is current, what is on the table, on the cutting edge. Otherwise, we are going to do something that we think will bless people, but to produce death. Death, not physical death, but it will not bring increase, it will not bring growth. Growth in grace. You see, you can have one idea being added to your mind. You can be tickled in your emotion. You can have a stronger resolve in your will. All those things are in the realm of the soul. But the spirit must be touched. And the spirit can only be touched when the thing is coming straight from the spirit. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Deep call it on the deep. When you dig deep into the spirit, you produce spirits and life. When you depend on God, for instance, you ask God, what do you want me to give these people and myself? Today, what should I give them? What should I feed on? Say, give us this day our daily bread. We have departed from that. Now, we do know that there were some people, the early apostolic fathers, they were not schooled, not educated. They will come and stand in the pulpit. And before they come, they've prayed, really prayed. And the Holy Spirit has filled them. They've not gone to school. They will come and say, okay, let's open the Bible. Open your Bible to, is there any book like Jeremiah? Okay, go to chapter 30. Start reading from verse 1. Then you start reading. They say, stop. Yes. Now, and they will start preaching from that. They've not been to school. They will start preaching from that chapter and that the verse, because that was what they saw in the spirit. That to me is more powerful than just taking something because you can read and understand with your mind and to share. But now our advantage is we can read and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on what we have read. But we have also neglected the spirit side. And we are only taking the letter. So people believe in sermons. Sermons. And all that. All those things are fig leaves. They don't produce life. Now the third thing is that the fig leaf principle is to place more importance on outward show but no fruit. You see, the fig leaf, what angered Jesus was the fact that he saw the fig leaf from afar having leaves. And he thought that he could find fruit. But he went closer and he saw that there was no fruit. That is also one of the delusions in the church, where we have outward show but no fruit. Where we are more interested in the outward that what goes on in the secret or in the inside. You see, human beings will always be more interested and more fascinated by the outward. Human beings. In 1 Samuel 16, he said, man looks at the outward. That is where we look at. So we are always fascinated by what we see on the outward. But if we want to think like God, we must not put outward show with no fruit. Otherwise, we are operating under fig leaf mentality. Because the fig leaf has leaves. Leaves. I used to tell, when I was teaching children at the children's ministry, like teaching teenagers, I used to tell them, the ladies, I used to tell them, don't be like the fig tree. Because there are some of them who are like JHS. But the way they will dress and the way they will, you would think they are grown. So they attract people, they attract men to them. Because the way, as I said, don't be like the fig tree. Don't carry leaves where you don't have fruit. You can carry a lot of leaves, but no fruit. When people see you from afar, say, hey, wow, this is something. But there's nothing. We don't serve God like that. We don't do ministry like that. We don't live life like that. There are some people, they live their life based on the fig leaf principle. Even people can even borrow to look good on the outside. Yeah. When you see people, there are some people, the car they are driving is borrowed. What they are wearing is borrowed. What they are doing is borrowed. Everything is borrowed. Just to create an impression on the outside, but there's no fruit. So you see that after some time, the owner of the car will come for the car. Owner of the clothes will come for the clothes. That is not how we live life. If you live your life like that, it means you're operating the fig leaf principle. Outward show, but no fruit. Leaves attract attention to themselves because they are always shaking, but there's no fruit. That's why Paul said, he said, if I have the tongues of angels and of men, I have power to move mountains, faith to move mountains, and I can understand all mysteries, and I have no love, I am nothing. He said, I can have all those things, but if I have no love, I am nothing. Love is the fruit. All those things are leaves. You see, the gifts are leaves. They are always shaking, drawing attention to themselves. But the fruit is love. The fruit is, for instance, the fruit is character. Beauty is leaves. So if your strength is in beauty, it means you're operating in under fig leaf. Because Bible says beauty is vain, charm is deceitful, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Why? Because it is fig leaves. All the things that make you look beautiful, they are all fig leaves. Those things are not what you really are. What you really are is your character. It is who you are. That is who you are. It's not what you have put on. I'm not saying you can't put on nice things. You must put on nice things if you can afford them. You must look nice. But it should go beyond that. Bible says the beauty that God desires is beauty of the heart. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is costly in the sight of God, that one is more expensive to God. In 1 Peter 3, verse 4, that's what it says. It says that the beauty that God desires is beauty of the inside. There are some people, they are very beautiful on the outside. When they open their mouth to speak, you will see they are very ugly. That is the fig leaf lifestyle. Beautiful. So in Proverbs 11, 22, he said, a woman or a man, it's not only women, a woman or a man without character is like a pig with a ring in its snout. When you put a ring, gold ring, in the mouth of a pig, how does it look like? That is how God sees us. When our emphasis is only on the outward, not on the inward. When we waste all our time on the outward, not on the inward. God is not against beauty enhancement. He's not against that. Even though he said good name is better than ointment. He didn't condemn ointment. He only said, good name is far better than ointment. Ointment stands for cream, stands for perfume, stands for anything that will make you look nice, smell good, all those things. They are very good. But he said, a good name is not seen. A good name is who you are. It's not seen. It's not written on your forehead that this person is good. No, it's what you do. Those things carry more weight in the sight of God. Those things that somebody was telling me 2 weeks ago, an elderly man, I was conversing with him in Accra. Then he said, do you know what is really yours? He's a young man. People don't understand life. He said, this car you are driving is not yours. I said, it's mine. He said, it's not yours. He said, this shirt you are wearing is not yours. He said, do you know that even this watch you are wearing is not yours? He said, do you know what is yours? He said, what is yours is the food you eat. But later on, he explained, and I realized the wisdom in what he was saying. He said, if you die right now, the only thing that you will take with you is the food that is in your stomach. So he was talking about the fact that if you have food to eat, you are blessed. Don't think of anything else. He said, if you have food to eat, it means you are okay. Because that is what you will carry. But even, I am also saying that it's not even food. You can't carry food to the next realm. What you will carry to the next realm is your spiritual investment. Even the food will get rotten, you know, like your body will carry the food to the grave. You know? And he said that, do you know that if you die right now, you will not choose the kind of attire you want to wear? He said, they will dress you. You can't dress. They will dress you. And you will be wearing one attire forever. And even if you are not lucky, they will put you there naked. It means that all those things, they are not yours. He said, have you seen anybody who goes with his car? So, bury me with my car. I saw one picture like that in Nigeria. They buried a hammer. Yeah, they buried a rich man in a hammer. Yeah. Somebody told the wife that when I die, I want you to give all my money that I have in the bank and put the money beside me in the grave. And he made the wife sign. The wife said, okay, I agree. I'll put your money in the grave beside you. So after the funeral, then the wife was telling people that, you know, my husband said this and I had to honor him. So I put all his money by him in the grave. Then they asked him, you really did that? He said, yes. I gave him a check. I wrote a check. He said, I wrote a check. The check contains all the money he has. And I put it in the coffin. So you see that even the money you have, you can't take it with you. Paul said, we came with nothing, and it is certain that we will carry nothing. So all that we acquire on this earth, you see, everything that you will have on this earth, that's why I said, if you have all the world's goods and your soul is poor, he said you have made a loss. So spiritual investment to God is more important than physical material investment. I was telling some people on Friday, just this Friday, I said, buildings and human beings, which one is a more permanent investment? Buildings. Then somebody said, buildings. He said, because there are buildings which are 100 years old. They are still there. Human beings, few of them get to 100. So you must, if you invest in buildings, it is better. You will leave a name. You will leave a name. That, oh, this is the building of so-and-so. You know, because even when they are gone, the building is there. So buildings are a better investment. So I said, okay, that's also good. But in the sight of God, human investment is the greatest investment. Because if you invest in somebody's mind, for instance, just mind, as a teacher, secular education, you invest in somebody's mind, the person receives knowledge. The person will pass it on. And the person will pass it on. The knowledge will never die. So 100 years to come, the knowledge is still there and they are improving upon the knowledge. In the same way, spiritual investment is more important than physical investment. We need to think like God. Fig leaf principle. Form without power. 2 Timothy 3:5. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power. They have the container, but no content. Are you getting me? We can have the container and not the content. We can put on an outward show and brand ourselves and talk big, but there will be nothing to show. That is the fig leaf. That's why people are sometimes deceived by what they see on Facebook. There are some people who come on Facebook and what they put out there is not the real thing. People will portray a certain image on Facebook which is directly opposite or different from what pertains in real life. So if you marry by Facebook, you make a mistake. You are marrying an image. You will see that the person that you are seeing on the Facebook is not the same person that you'll be seeing in normal life. That is fig leaf living. Wells without water. Come to 2 Peter 2:17. Look at how Peter described fig leaf living. 2 Peter 2:17. Okay, let me read from verse 15. They are forsaking the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the damned donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried about by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are great words. Great words. Verse 6-18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Wells without water. They said empty barrels make the most noise. Wells without. There are some people, when you hear their voice, you think they are anointed. The way their voice will tender, and the way they will speak, you say, oh, this man is anointed. But that is not what counts. That is not what shows anointing. You can have a very deep voice and still be anointed. But you can have deep voice and not be anointed. So get the anointing. And then when the voice comes to add, then that one is not bad. That one is okay. So get the water first. And the what, you see, when you get the water first, the well will be created. Don't get the well first. Get the water first. Because you can have the well without water. But he said, whoever drinks the water I will give him, he will never thirst. And that water will be a well of eternal life springing up. A well springing up. A fountain springing up unto eternal life. John 4:14. So when you get the water, get the spirit first, get the real thing first. instead of drawing attention to yourself, make sure you stay in the place of prayer and be endued with power first. Get hold of the Spirit first before you start doing things to portray that you are anointed. That's why sometimes we use gimmicks, because the real thing is not there. Fig leaf is in the church, a lot in the church. You see people, the way they do things. And these days it's like, you know, somebody was telling me, he asked me a question. He said, do you know that if you have money right now, you can do anything? I said, really? He said, yes. He said, if you have money right now, you can put up a very nice building. People will come because of the building. You can buy airtime 5 years. Then you are always on it. Always giving direction to your building. He said, you can project a certain image. If you have money, you can get some people to come to your church to preach. And when people say that, oh, so-and-so has come to this church to preach. So then it means this church is a very powerful church. So let me go to this church. So he said, Charlie, the thing now is money. He said, if you don't have money, forget it. You can't make it. Because you need money to do this and do that and do that. You know, and somebody was telling him that he was going to preach somewhere. Then he said, he went there on foot. When he went there to preach, after preaching, you know, the pastor asked him to raise funds for them. Raise funds and all that. And he said, as soon as they were worshiping, the pastor gave him an envelope. So this is your honorarium. Whatever happens here, it's none of your business. I've already given you. It was 40 cedis. So he said he raised funds and all that, preached and all that. After preaching, he didn't see the pastor. The pastor disappeared. So another time, he was invited to another place. Then he brought somebody's car, got a driver to drive into the place, went for nice clothes like suits and tie. And somebody was carrying his Bible. And said he totally delayed. He delayed in coming, so they waited for him for a long time. You know, when he came, his armor bearers, you know, he came with some people. They were carrying his Bible and his staff. His phone. One was carrying his phone. Went there and sat down. He had very nice perfume on, everything, to the microphone, and told them, you know, I was preaching in London, and I was preaching here, and he said, when he finished, the pastor came for the mic and said, please, you have to help me. You see, even his fuel alone, I don't know how much he spent on fuel. I don't know. So you have to help me. He raised special funds for him. And he said, he has stopped that. He didn't do that again. But he said he did that because he felt like people will put you in a certain class when they quantify the things on you. Because if you go there on foot, they'll say, oh, he's a lost man. You know, just give him something small, you know, that's, you know. But if you come with your car and, like, you know, like, see, even the fuel that he will buy. So let's add something. Let's give something. Now, there are some people, if you don't have a certain amount of money, you can't invite them. You can't. I want to mention names, but there are some people right now, if we invite them, you must have at least 10,000 Ghana cedis. That's even on the lower side. There are others, if you want to invite them, invite them, you must have $120,000, $70,000, one night, one preaching. Otherwise, you won't come. There are some people you have to put money down before they come. Some actually deserve it. Some deserve it. But there are some also who want to carry themselves and brand themselves to deserve that. That is fig leaf living. It's well without water. Well without water will not have generational impact. Usually, a well in the Bible stands for generations. Look at the well Jacob dug. He said, our father Jacob drank from this well and his animals. He said, who are you? The woman of Samaria was telling Jesus Christ. He said, our father Jacob dug this well. It was still there. Well stands for generation. Well without water means that you don't have generational impact. If you live your life based on fig leaf men, a principle. If you want to impress without having the fruit. That is what is killing us as believers and as ministers. That thing, that desire to impress. If you follow that desire to impress, you'll be doing many things that you cannot do. You put yourself under unnecessary pressure. You will live a life you can't finance, a life you can't sustain, and you will end up becoming a thief. Oh, yes. Some men of God become thieves because of the life and the image they project. So that's why they have to put pressure on the people to release money, to finance their luxury. So they can come and say, I am blessed. All those things are fig leaves. And we need to know from now that that's not how God sees things. You see, God, what is precious in the sight of God, it's not necessarily what is precious in the sight of man. You can apply God's measure to man and you see that we have missed God. But what pleases God, we don't also want. That's why he said all these who look and he said they are abominations. Anything that is highly esteemed among men is abomination in sight of God. Highly esteemed abominations. It does not mean that those things are bad, but I'm saying that you can use the right way to acquire them. You don't need to put on a show just to create an impression that you are somebody you are not. That's why sometimes we heap titles on ourselves just to portray that we are somebody we are not. God, if God has not called you this, you don't have to call yourself like that. It's serious. I was saying that time that some people are facing some battles that are bigger than them simply because they are privates wearing general's attire. Or they are lieutenants wearing general's attire. So you have general's opposition. Because a general faces bigger enemies than a lieutenant. So if you want people to say you are a general, and you are not, relative will catch up with you, then you will see yourself facing some attacks that you're not supposed to face. For instance, you come and sit in a chair that is not yours. What is fighting that person will start fighting you. Then you see that you cannot stand because you were not raised to sit on the chair. You broke protocol to sit on the chair, so you can't stand. That's why a lot of churches that break away, they also break. When you break away from a church to start your church, you will just be breaking like that. It also means zeal without knowledge. Romans 10:2. Zeal without knowledge. Zeal is good, but it must be based on knowledge. God wants us to be zealous, but we must also have knowledge. We must have knowledge. Some people can be zealous, very zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, we must understand how God sees things. You know, I've thought about status and as teacher. So like the fig leaf principle is when you have status and you don't have stature. Instead of seeking status, seek stature in the spirit. Hide yourself and prosper. That is the lifestyle of the snake, the serpent. The serpent hides itself and then it prospers. You can live with a snake in your house for years. You will never see it. They are very cunning. They can be living with you in the same room. You will never see it. They can hide there and just be growing. That is what we should do. We should have that mindset that we will hide ourselves and grow. By the time you are exposed, you have developed muscles and nothing can put you down. If you want to be exposed prematurely, you will be broken prematurely because you have not developed the muscles. You may not even be able to handle fame, handle attention. When you become the center of attention, can you handle it? If you have not hidden yourself to grow, and you rush to be launched, then all these eyes and attention is coming on you. You suddenly begin to enjoy this fame. Then you see, you find yourself, you are found wanting. You can't handle the fame. Now we see your pride coming. Now we see that you can't. I mean, you are broken. You are being torn apart. There are many people who were shot into prominence, had fame and wealth, because of their gift, got married and couldn't sustain the marriage. Torn apart. Because they had fame. They had fame and they couldn't handle the fame. They were more famous than their husbands. Wealthier than their husbands. Even seemingly anointed than their husbands, in quotes. So couldn't handle all those things. But if you hide yourself and you make up your mind that I'm going to hide and flourish, I'm going to go away from the limelight, public domain, public view, just hide in my corner somewhere and be focused, a time will come, your prophecy will appear to all. 1 Timothy 4:15. He said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them till your profiting appears to all. You see, there's a time where your profiting or your progress will appear to all. But before that, you have to meditate and give yourself entirely to it. You have to do bear and lion killing in the wilderness where nobody is seeing you. Then one day, Goliath will show up and then nobody thinks you can put him down, bring him down. Then here you come. Then you bring him down. Then God gets glory. And you see, when David killed Goliath, even that one shot David to prominence, but that one couldn't bring David down. He couldn't bring him down. Even though the women were even singing, so has killed his thousand, David tens of thousands. I mean, that was a perfect time for David to have said that, wow, the throne is mine. After all, Samuel has anointed me in secret. So this is the time to reign. But if David had eyed the throne at that time, and he had gone for the throne at that time, he would have been a mess. Because it was not time for the throne. But you see, it was a little promotion that God gave him. But because he had been doing bear and lion killing, not seeking approval or recognition, when he was tested with that little promotion, he could handle it. And it was a little promotion, even though it was a national thing, it came in the national newspapers. Yeah, 17-year-old brings down giants. Daily Guide. Say, David storms Saul's palace. You know how they made the headlines? See, Akufo-Addo storms Western region. Storms. But it couldn't bring him down. Yeah. Why? Because he had been killing lions and bears and he was not receiving any praise for that. That was training. God was training him in the wilderness. And he was even risking his life. And he was taking care of some few sheep. But he attended to them. He was faithful. And he didn't think he deserved any recognition or praise or anything of that sort. That is training. Don't wait till God brings you down and takes you and pushes you to the corner and hides you because he loves you. You hide yourself and let him work on you. Otherwise, you will force him to push you to the corner and hide you. One man of God was telling me, he said, when he started ministry, he was very young, very gifted. I mean, gifted and very handsome. See, and he said, when you have these things, you are in trouble. Gifted, handsome. He said, so he was so proud. He was telling me, then he said, God said, you wait. Then he said, God drove him to the wilderness for 25 years. He said, I was proud because I was really anointed and I was also handsome. People were talking about me. Mentioning my name here and there. Everywhere you pass, not even in his own church. And other churches. And he said he was under a senior pastor. When it happened like that, and people started inviting him to other churches and all that, then he started thinking that the senior pastor was jealous of him. So he thought he knew what he was doing. So the senior pastor would teach him, he would say, no. I mean, some of us, you know, nobody laid hands on us. You know, we are God anointed us, God called us. We carry original anointing. You don't teach me what to do. Yeah, he said that. He said he believed that nobody had laid hands on him. He had received that thing straight from God. So you can't come and direct him. Then he said, in his own words, God said, you wait. Then God took him to the wilderness 25 years to learn humility. Don't wait till God brings you down to help you to learn humility because he loves you. Bring yourself down. Now that excuse me to say you are nobody, bring yourself down. Hide yourself and flourish. Don't wait when you become somebody, in quotes, then God pulls you down to work on your humility because you can't handle the platform. The time has come for promotion, so you have been promoted. But you don't have the muscles to handle the promotion. So your knees are weak. You are the weight of the promotion is killing you. So God will say, come home, not home to heaven, come home here. I had a dream last year, one man of God, prominent man of God in Ghana. Then I was standing on top of a building. Then somebody was by me. Then a person gave an instruction. Push him in the box and cover him with black cloth so that you can pray for him. And he was resisting, and they pushed him in the box. And he said, let there be a little hole so that he can breathe. Sometimes God can do that because of love. Because he doesn't want you to, you know, he loves you, so he will strip you naked so that you learn your lessons. When you get up, you come back, you'll be very, very sober. very, very humble, you know, I mean, you'll be okay. But we shouldn't wait for that. These days, you see people, they will say, okay, this is the most successful minister, this is the most successful, 100 most successful ministers, 1,000 most successful. I said, all those things they are not necessary. Oh, me, they are not necessary. Me, if you tell me you give me an award, you say, come, we have given you an award. One of the most powerful preachers in Ghana, I won't go. You mark it. The day you see me go for an award like that, I've changed. Yeah. The day you see me go for an award that is like, they say one of the most powerful, most successful, especially when it got to ministry, it means I've changed. I will not go for it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't crave for it. I don't think about it. Because you see, the one who should mark me is God. Do you know how God marks, if you like, success? Not results, obedience. If Jonah went to Nineveh and nobody repented, will God say he's a failure? Will God have said he's a failure? No. So it's not all the time that you measure people by seeming results or what you see with your eyes. How God rates a person is obedience. It's obedience. So he said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah goes there. He preaches. Nobody repents. He comes alone. One-man ministry. He's alone. People will say that Jonah is not doing well. Why? Because he doesn't have a crowd. Number two, he doesn't have money. Number three, he doesn't have structures, buildings. He doesn't have power preaching. He went to Nineveh, nobody repented. Meanwhile, God is saying, oh, my servant Jonah, you have done well. You have done what was on my heart. But people are saying Jonah is a failure. That is how we are rating people and ministers. I was encouraging one man of God. I said, look, man of God, don't be discouraged because people are despising you. I said, be happy. If only you're obeying God, be happy. Because greatness is in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. I mean, God can make you great and men will see. But you are not going to award me for something that God has done in my life. Are you my judge? You don't have the marking scheme of my life. Don't give people the marking. Don't let them have marking scheme for your life. So that they'll come and mark you and say, you got 10 here, you got 20 here. Oh, you are doing well because of A, B, C, D, E. No. At the end of the day, you stand before God and God will let you know how you are doing. In 2011, I prayed a prayer and I asked God, how am I doing in your sight? Then that night I had a dream. I was going to Accra in a dream. And I was on that crowd road. But it was about 5 in the evening and I had not gotten to my destination. So in a dream, the Lord told me in the dream, you're on the right path, but you are slow. I prefer that. Even that one that God is saying you are slow, somebody on the outside will say, hey, the man has done this and that. Till you go by what people are saying. People are saying that you are very fast, doing things. But God is saying you are slow. So if you listen to what people are saying and you judge yourself by what people are saying, you make a mistake. God is the one who has the true measure. Just allow God to apply his measure to your life and tell you how you are doing. Yes. prophecy may appear to all. In Matthew 13:44, Jesus talked about the parable of somebody who saw a treasure and for joy hid it. For joy hid the treasure. He didn't go about exposing it, he hid it. It's good to hide certain things. Yeah, it's good to hide certain things. Not everything that you have that you show. Come and see. Sometimes it's good to hide certain things. I mean, hide them from people who should not see. Hide and flourish. Don't live all your life on social media. Everywhere you go, they will know that you are here. I'm sitting in a bus. And I put it on social media. I mean, I'm traveling to Accra. People know that I'm going to Accra. You are eating. Then take a selfie. Bah. Then it's there. Your room, your bedroom, living room. Social media. So what life do you have again? All your life is lived on the public. No, that's wrong. Hide some things. When people get to know you, they will know things they never knew about you, and they'll be surprised. I mean, good things. So if you are unassuming, you are just walking about, just simple, just doing normal things. People don't even rate you as such, but they get close to you, they see that, hey, that is it. That is better than to be, hey, look at me. Hey, look, and then nothing is there. That is fig leaf. Okay, let me end. So you see, when I say hi, you know, like for instance, I was telling somebody that I said, sometimes, even in a relationship, apart from the people who matter, who should know, you should not go about telling everybody I'm in a relationship. I met a couple some time ago in a certain place, and they told me that. No, like I had a meeting with them because they wanted me to, take them through marriage counseling, all that. And they said that we had to go to a neutral place because they didn't want people to see them. Not for evil intention. We said, well, this thing is too early and we don't want to, you know. It's sometimes good to hide things. At least, it's not hiding from those who matter, those who need to know. You don't hide it from them. But there are some people who don't need to know. They don't need to know. You must hide it from people. Telling things must be kept between you and some people. I mean, good things, not bad things. So, the last one is the fig leaf principle is to be more interested in temporary things than permanent things. Because the fig leaf was temporary. In a matter of days, it will just wither and die. So why do you clothe yourself with something that is temporary? That will just wither and die in a matter of some few days. Like Esau. He took a permanent decision on a temporary problem. Hunger. He said, I'm hungry. Give me some of your bean stew. Then Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. He said, oh, I am at the point of death. What will this birthright do me? And Bible says, so he lightly esteemed his birthright. Something that was permanent. He chose a temporary thing, which is satisfaction, hunger, satisfaction, over a permanent thing. Permanent thing. So, the outward things, God likes them, likes us to have them, but don't put all your energy, waste all your time, everything just on a temporary thing. I mean, there should be something permanent. That is why, you know, even those of us who preach, we must always make sure that we give people something that is eternal. It's not only about your life on this earth, even though we must also give you advice that will help you to grow and prosper, increase in your life here. But the target must be what you can carry with you across this realm. Because certain things cannot cross this realm. You will leave them here. No matter how rich you are, you can't take anything. And when you die, you see, your whole life is just a page. I saw it and it really pained me. Go to funerals. All that the person did, just one page, or at most 3 pages. Everything has to summarize. He was born on this date, went to school here, went to work here, got married this time, that time. Everything. So all the many years the person has lived, only one page. Is that not true? Only one page, at most 3 pages. All that, which means that if you see, but you see, there's something that is eternal that you can, that God can write, and that will be eternal on your behalf. Depending on what you did with your life. You see, you can do a good work. You can do dead works. God said we shouldn't do dead works. You can do a good work. They can do an eternal work. For instance, when a church goes to a city, a town, and they sink a borehole, it's a good work. But if that's all they do, they don't preach the gospel, they don't do spiritual investment, they've not done eternal work. It's only a good work. So let's move from just doing merely good works to doing eternal works, securing eternal destinies. If you do something for somebody, that is eternal. For instance, praying for somebody is eternal. It can cross this realm. Because when you stand before God, all the prayers you invested in people, they will all come. He said, blessed are those who die in the spirit, for they enter into rest and their works follow them. Because the works were eternal works. They followed them. All that Joseph did, the only thing that was remembered was Hebrews 11. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, told them that God will carry them from Egypt. And when they go, they should carry his bones. He didn't even talk about all the great policies he made for Egypt. The grains he stored and his riches and all that. When Hebrews was recording the acts of the heroes of faith, the only thing that about Joseph that was recorded was by faith. What he did by faith. So maybe you see what is being recorded in eternal history is what you are doing by faith. It's the spiritual investment you are making by faith. It's amazing. All that Joseph did, it was not remembered in Hebrews 11, when they were counting the hall of faith. You know, like even David and all the people there. David was just to be mentioned. His name was just mentioned. Abraham, they talk about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all that. Moses and all that. Hallelujah. I pray that God will help us so that we will live our lives before God and not before man. Let us not seek to impress human beings. Because human beings are just like us. Let us only seek to please God. Elijah said something. He said, the Lord God, before whom I stand, He was standing before Ahab, but he knew that he was standing before God. He said, the Lord God before whom I stand, which means that he had an audience of one. That he is the one I'm looking up to. I don't care about how you measure me, how you rate me. I don't care. I don't care about those things. I only care about whether I'm doing what God says I should do, whether I'm being obedient. Because your assessment will fail. Because one day, you, the same person who is telling me that I'm doing well, one day, pay your assessment. I may be doing poorly. So I rather prefer to hear what God said. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the motivation. Let's pray and ask God for grace. In the name of Jesus. Koriya talabahasa. Ko metelhe kabahaso de. Mande breketo no mo shahata. Kaliya talabalaba sukara anabasuli antalaba. Libra to no mo koza taniyanda. Ikrobo bo zikre de kasa. Mante likre bo kozi kolobo hoseke. Okaya lebrehe talabaha. Mande protozo krototo. Give us grace, O God. Give us grace, O God. In the name of Jesus, give us more grace, O God. More grace, O God. Not to live according to the fig leaf principle. Not to live our lives based on the fig leaf principle. Outward show, but no fruit. Wells without water. Help us, O God. Interested more in the physical than the spiritual. In the temporary than the permanent. Help us, Lord. Using fig leaves to cover inner bankruptcy. Kebrehe tolobohosa. Londa shatalamaha. Mantere pekose. Kobretele kezo brehatase. Iride kezo delabahase. King Bratin Libihondos hair, Krana Sinkoto Mandolo Pohosa, Ridiculzozi Cretenehesh, Flante Kemenehetonas, Lunda Katuni Vrikatoze, Riketon Namaha. Oh, yes, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want us to pray this prayer. We are asking God for that grace to hide, the grace to hide and flourish, hide and prosper. Let's ask for that wisdom and that strength, that grace, in the name of Jesus. Lord, deke berheta na makukasha, ika loze intele hikata, krone shota na mahata, si krono roshe. Krone bride ketone mehakatasa, kamatande kratutos, reketara balasike, rende kozon telehekata, krina zungi palahatan labrahasute, kole brende katondo broshe, ingratata sikatanda, reteke shokehe, reketozanta lamekata, ole brodele shukrihetasa. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. We are praying the last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are asking God that the plan of God for this nation, it is now time for Ghana to experience prosperity. The prophecy that St. Jacobs gave in the early 90s, it's time for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Because she gave Zimbabwe's prophecy that deliverance is coming to Zimbabwe. And then right after that, she gave Ghana's prophecy. So let's pray that God should open the floodgates of prosperity for this nation. That the last month that we are in, even to the third month of next year, Ghana's story will start unfolding. Prosperity will start coming to this nation. Because of the apostolic commissioning that is on Ghana, the kingdom that God wants to expand. Let's begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Ghana. We pray for this nation. We thank you, O God. Let the angel in charge of Ghana be strong. In the name of Jesus, let him wage warfare on behalf of the church. Let floods of intercession rise. And let the angels take the prayers of the saints and add incense and throw it back upon this earth, upon this land. Let Ghana, the land of Ghana, begin to experience rest. In the name of Jesus, let the land, the earth that we are occupying, Ghana, begin to experience rest. Let the purpose of God be unfolded. Let the plans of God begin to unfold in this very nation. In the name of Jesus, let prosperity anointing be released upon this nation. In Jesus' name, let the church be strong, and let the voice of the church be strong. Let the voice of the church drown every other voice. In the name of Jesus, let the mountain of the Lord be exalted far above every other mountain on this land. In Jesus' name, let the rod go forth out of Zion. Let the rod of strength go forth out of Zion. Let revelation be released from the church that will cover the entire nation, that will secure our borders. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the four corners of this nation. We speak to our borders in Jesus' name. We raise a standard against every negative influence. In the name of Jesus, any spirit that wants to enter this nation, we say as the church, we prevent that spirit. We deny that spirit permission to enter this nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our leaders, O God. We pray, O God, our leaders, let them be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them be controlled, even as Herod was controlled, to do what is right by the words of John the Baptist. Let them be controlled in the name of Jesus. Let them be controlled. Let the fear of God fall on them, that anytime they will venture to do anything that will bring the church problems, that will bring restriction, that will open the door for demonic influence, that the fear of God will restrain them. In the name of Jesus, any agenda of the wicked one that he will seek to pass through and release into the minds of these leaders, let that agenda perish in their minds. In the name of Jesus, raise counselors, O God. Raise counselors around our president. Counselors around our ministers, our president. Let him be open to good counsel. Father, any evil people around him who give him demonic advice, remove them, O God. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you praise, we give you all the honor. Help us, Lord, and give us more grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.